I've been a primary author of two of the largest tax cuts in the history of our state.
Let the eagle soar.
Son, go outside and dust yourself off. And when you feel good again, come back in and talk to me. We know what they would have done because we know what they did.
K-Row. I've been there. K-Row.
We are going to fight for Missouri values. We are going to defend life. And we are going to protect our constitutional rights.
What I am trying to do to simply make tomorrow just a little bit better than today.
Welcome to the first hashtag MoLedge podcast of 2017. Back, I'm Scott Fum, publisher of the Missouri Times, joined by
Becky Lohman,
lobbyist with Catalyst. We call her Becky Third Red and finally Pass Lohman.
Oh, that name still hasn't stuck with anyone else but you, Fawn, but well, I'm trying to spread it around.
Well, it's early in the session. I mean, if you already passed
come
it,
May, everybody will.
Maybe you should
I'll
tell
change
people,
my business card.
Yeah, tell people you're an ethics lobbyist.
Yeah.
Then maybe you could do it
isn't
earlier.
Isn't that like an oxy, isn't it like jumbo shrimp? Does that actually work together?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I guess that's true. So we're here at the State Capitol recording the first podcast of the year. We're going to flip to an interview we did this morning with the new lieutenant governor, Mike Parson, fresh off of not only winning an election, but quintuple bypass. Which is more impressive, winning, becoming lieutenant governor, or being back to work 2 weeks after a bypass?
Being back to work 2 weeks
I
after a
think
bypass.
So too. Yeah.
I mean, that is that takes some chutzpah.
Okay, what do you think of this big speech?
I thought it was awesome. I think we were chatting earlier about he is a true Missourian, and you can't. I mean, he's just a solid guy. He's a good guy.
Yeah, that was simple. I mean, I don't know that anybody knows anything more than they do before about what he wants to do with the state, but it looks like he came out of the gate strong on cops. There's more cops here than any. This is the safest place in Missouri right now.
I saw snipers on the roof, too, yeah. Which was pretty cool. Does that make you feel more safe or less safe?
Yeah, I don't know. I'm not as big a fan of the government as you are.
Oh, yeah, I love big government.
People with government having guns makes me feel less safe, but I wonder if there's like a threat on the governor. Because there's all this different. I wonder if there's been some
sort of. There's a lot of high security, and this is my first inauguration, so I don't have any context other than the old pros like yourself telling me what it used to be like.
Used to be like a highway patrolman kind of nod his head at you, and you knew you better not get out of the line.
Yeah.
This is way different. I wonder if this is the new normal.
I have mixed feelings on what the new normal is. I don't mind the high security. I know people that love me like that. I'm working in a safe space, but convenience is huge for me. So
yes,
going through,
I'm with
I
you
mean.
There.
To be frank, going through the security every day is going to be sort of annoying.
The CMO Times is reporting the governor is nervous of being in the same building as Brian Grace. And that's what the heightened security is about.
Brian Grace falls off his bike all the time, so I wouldn't worry too much about
maybe they don't know
about being a super threat. You know, he's in a sling half the time. He's only got one good hand. I'm not that scared of Brian Grace.
The Brian Grace shots abound.
I don't know.
Okay, so comes out of the gate. He goes back and signs. I don't quite understand this. He signed an executive order saying if you work in the administration, you can't get a lobbyist gift.
Uh-huh.
Sounds fine, right?
Yeah.
I don't know. Is that a big thing? You're a lobbyist. Do you give gifts to people in the executive branch a lot?
If only my job was that easy, right? That we could give a gift and make move legislation. And honestly, I don't know personally that I've ever interacted with an executive branch member in that way with a gift. So that really doesn't affect me. I haven't heard many lobbyists really care one way or the other. I don't think they would mind getting rid of gifts altogether, honestly. I think lobbyists support bans on lobbyist gifts, to be quite honest.
I think the greatest sense of irony is unbeknownst to the Post-Dispatch or even maybe the new governor, like taking away lobbyist gifts, taking away revolving door where there's can be fewer competitors.
Right, less competition for me.
Putting contribution limits on. You've done so much for the lobbies. I think maybe the security is...
Wait, I feel like you're backing me into a corner.
No, I think the governor is enacting so many policies that lobbyists love. I think maybe the security thing is just, he needs to hassle you with something, right?
Right, you can't give me everything.
The true winners of the session so far are lobbyists.
No question. Sure. I'll roll with that. I just don't think that anybody really, lobbyists, as far as I'm concerned, don't really care about the gifts. They don't really care about the bans. I mean, I wasn't in a government before I was a lobbyist, so that really doesn't pertain to me, nor does it pertain to me now. So, yeah, cool. I kind of agree with you on that.
Well, we'll be right back with an interview with very healthy-looking and happy Mike Parson, lieutenant governor. We'll be right back with five questions for Becky Lohman after this. We are very excited to be here in the Lieutenant Governor's office, joined by the new incoming Lieutenant Governor, Mike Parson. Governor, congratulations.
Thank you, Scott. Good to be here this morning, and a new whole meeting of good to be here this morning for me.
I tell you, we've talked, you've been on This Weekend with Repository, was talking about how, about the campaign, about what you do in the office, but first I want to ask, how are you feeling?
You know, I feel good. I feel good, as you know, and maybe a lot of people do and a lot of people don't, but going through bypass surgery was unexpected. I'm just so thankful and appreciative for my doctors and the people that, the nurses and the staff, that I caught it in time on an annual visit. But I feel good, you know, still not quite 100% yet, but every day is a little better. But today was a big day for me. I wanted to be here in Jeff City, the people of Missouri that elected me to hold this office, and I wanted to be here today to take that oath.
It's a testament to modern medicine, how you can be here ready to go after having that kind of surgery not long before.
You know, have a five-way bypass almost just 2 weeks ago and sitting here today talking to you, I'm one fortunate person. Let me tell you that, to be here to do that.
So when did you find out you had the problem?
You know what? It kind of come up... I didn't know. I never had no chest pains, nothing like that. I just had a little shortness of breath.
Yeah, I've seen people that have heart problems and don't know it. They're usually sluggish or they're tired. I mean, I've never thought of you that way. You're more energy than I do.
Well, you know, I was out the farm working a little bit, and you know, I've been on a campaign trail, so all those things do factor in that you think maybe I'm tired, maybe another year, I'm slowing down a little bit. But the reality of it was, is I just happened to have a little shortness of breath, was it. And I mentioned it to my doctor on an annual checkup. And from there, matter of fact, it was a whirlwind ride. You know, I go in.
So was it an annual checkup? That's just a normal?
Annual checkup. And wow. They suggested I take a stress test, which I did, which I'll be the best poster boy for the American Heart Association when this is over. But if I could have simply said, nah, let's put it off till after all of this. But I don't know that I'd be here today if I hadn't done it. And so it was remarkable.
So they must have got you in pretty quick then, right?
Let me tell you something. I'll tell you how quick it was. I found this out on December the 22nd. They did an angiogram. The 23rd they did the angiogram. The 24th, Christmas Eve, I was in surgery for 5 hours.
Wow.
So there was literally no time to really think about it, which was good.
Yeah.
Which I looking back on, I think it was good. It was the holidays, and let me tell you the people that I want to say thank you and to appreciate so much is the people that were working those shifts. Mm-hmm. Those nurses and doctors and housekeeping, all those people working while we're all enjoying Christmas and with our families. And I don't know how many times I've driven past hospitals or medical facilities, and I just take it for granted.
Yeah.
And but for those people, I owe them a great amount of gratitude. They're just great, great people that helped me and saved my life.
Well, let's talk about policy. Congratulations on being the Cattleman Award. That's very prestigious.
Thank you very much. I was surprised by that. I didn't know that was coming, but it was pretty good when you make your first appearance and you get the Cattleman of the Year from the Missouri Cattleman Association. So a good award, and I'll cherish that one.
Let's talk about agriculture real quick. You'd sit on the campaign trail that you'd be the person that would vouch for Eric Greitens on ag. You'd said that he'd be the most pro-ag governor ever. I think folks, you know, there was some HSUS stuff during the campaign and people didn't know, but it looks like his ag director is as good as it possibly could be.
Oh, I know. I don't think there's a better. I was totally excited when he picked Chris to be the new ag director. And made no mistake about it, I like Richard. Richard was a good friend and he did a great job. But if he was going to have to replace him, Christian can knock it out of the ballpark too. So, and I've worked with her several times before. So I think it's a great choice.
If you were going to be the best governor for ag, that looks like a very logical choice to be your ag director.
I think it was a smart move. I think it was a very intelligent appointment that he done under the circumstances that he was under. And I don't think it'll do anything but make him better in the ag community. So, you know, and I've told this before, Scott, my job, the way I look at it, I understand I'm in the second seat. And my job is to help Governor Greitens to be the best governor of the state of Missouri. And whatever role I play, that's the role I will.
Becky got pulled away, but I want to ask you five questions that we normally do. What's the top thing you do in your free time?
Top thing I do in the free time? Yeah. I'll work on the farm.
Work on the farm? I've seen it. It is, and it's actual work. Let me ask you this. So when do you think it'll be that when you're presiding over the Senate and somebody's saying something that you'll get the urge to talk and you'll remember I have to preside. Or has it already happened this morning?
You know, once you're a senator, it's kind of tough to cut it off sometimes. But you know what? I look forward to presiding. I really do. I'm probably going to play a much more active role in that. So it's still the Senate. It's my colleagues out there. And I plan on being out there probably a little more on the dais than normal for a lieutenant governor.
Cool. What's your favorite meal, Mike Parson asked? If you could pick any meal, even not heart surgery notwithstanding. Let's say we asked you this question last month.
My doctor hears this. He's done crazy.
Well, the old Mike Parson that didn't eat all the wonderful good things.
Well, you know, it's got to be a grilled cheeseburger.
Nice.
You know, it's on a grill. I mean, it's got to be a burger, you know.
Nice.
You can't hardly mess it up.
So, fourth question, your wife Teresa, twice as smart as you or 10 times, 20 times?
She's a lot smarter than me. I don't know how to get it. She's a lot smarter than me. To stick with me over my career, she's a tough gal, I can tell you that.
You know, I've seen all sorts of different spouses in politics. You have some that are real, real active in the details. You have some that don't care at all. She seems like a partner with you.
She does. And you know what? I can't say enough for my wife, my family, to go on a campaign trail and take your family through this. You know, I'd been in politics for a little while running for a state senate job. But there's nothing like running statewide.
Sure.
When you run statewide,
big state,
it is a huge obligation. And if you don't have the support of your spouse and your family members, I can't imagine going down that road. But she's went down all them gravel roads, went to all those little towns and the big cities, and has been there the entire time. So we're both excited. We're both excited about today. Matter of fact, when she woke up this morning, she said she's so proud of me for what I'd done. And I said, this is never about me. It was about all of us. It was about my entire family. It's about her and about all the people in the state that helped me.
Last question. You've served in the State House, State Senate, now as a statewide elected official. What's a piece of advice you'd give to somebody starting their first day down in the lower chamber? I mean, it's got to be bright-eyed, exciting. Their family's here. What's a piece of advice you'd give
them? You know, the first thing I would tell anybody that gets elected, how much of a special opportunity you have. Very few people get to sit in the seats in the House. In the House of Representatives or the Missouri Senate. And when you break that down into the numbers, it's what I said on the Senate floor a while ago, 34 people out of 6 million get to sit in those seats. Very few people do. So when you're there, it's time to make a difference and enjoy the moments, you know, because it's a very special place that you get to do that. And you know what? I would tell any new person, after serving in the House and the Senate and now statewide leadership, it's about relationships, Scott. Don't burn bridges. Because sooner or later, you're going to need something to get something done that's truly, and I'm telling you, because when I was in the House of Representatives, we used to have caucus meetings down there in the old days, and we'd badmouth senators and talk about them and say, you know, who they think they are, you know, and all this stuff. When you come down to the Senate, when I become a senator, now we sit in caucus sometimes and we badmouth the reps that are down there and says, well, this guy's causing problems. But at the end of the day, if you keep those relationships going, that's how you make a difference. That's how you become what I call a statesman versus a politician. And that's the key to success.
Well, Governor Parson, we're very honored to be in your office on this first day. Thanks so much for having us.
Good to have you guys in here this morning.
Take care.
Yep.
So, for the first podcast of the year, I want to. You always do five questions with everybody else. Now it's my turn to do five questions with you.
Okay, so this is just to me. Are we doing this back and forth like?
No, I got to. I kind of called it.
Okay,
so,
okay.
I mean,
this is your show. I'm just a guest.
Yeah,
just,
you're the. You're, I mean,
I just do. I work because you allow me to continue.
I did see you were the fourth quarter of 2016 podcast co-host of the year though. So congratulations on that award.
Thank you. I was waiting for my plaque in the mail.
That is an award that is earned, not given.
Fantastic. I don't like handouts, so that's good.
No, yeah, totally. I mean, 2016 fourth quarter podcast co-host of the year. That's not, I mean, I assume you're going to have to bump something off the mantle.
Right. I have to rearrange my trophies.
So digging in, first question. If you get to go dinner and a movie all time, where are you going to dinner? What are you ordering and what movie?
Oh, God,
Loman.
Is that three questions?
No, that's you and Mr. Loman.
Me and John Loman.
All time, Mr. and Ms. Loman go out. Where are you going to dinner?
Where are we going to go to dinner? Okay, so there is a place. Our first date was at this restaurant in St. Louis called Modesto. And so that's kind of our spot. So that's where we go. Actually, I think it's closed now. It might have changed names, but that's my choice.
I'm kind of a Smitty's and Napoli guy, so I miss out.
Yeah, you do like Napoli. You would like Napoli.
Yeah, I do like Napoli.
Smitty's is in a date with my dad. Smitty's. If I go on a dad-daughter date, we're going to Smitty's and throwing back some awesome. Budweisers mm-hmm. and yep. pints, and we're listening to a band.
The pint glasses are kind of cool.
For sure. But we digress. So, a dinner and a movie
What are you
date.
Ordering? What are you
we're
ordering
We're going to Modesto?
Modesto,
so it's like a tapas place. It's a tapas place, and they have bacon-wrapped dates.
For our listeners in West Butler County, what is that?
Tapas are a bunch of appetizers. Imagine if you order a bunch of small plate appetizers.
So you don't get a steak at all?
You can get a steak, but it's shareable. So you and I would order six different things. So varieties of spice of life.
That sounds awful.
Well, it's insane. I mean, I feel like I'm being judged very harshly for my just... This is my truth, Scott Fawn. Like, let me tell my truth on
air. So if you order a steak, it's like a baby steak?
It is a baby steak. But you can order as much as you want.
I don't think there's a tab that is in West Butler County.
I'm feeling really judged.
So what movie you guys go to? Is it the couple movie?
Firstly, I hate movies.
Yeah, no, but you. So
I hate
you tell
movies.
Me you didn't fit a dinner movie.
Right after we got engaged and we're bright-eyed and bushy-tailed and we're like so in love, mm-hmm. we went to see the movie This Is 40, which is effectively about how horrible marriage is and how you hate your spouse.
Oh my God, that's
so
like not
good. So we went there and
good.
We're like, we're so in love, and we watched This Is 40 and we kind of walked out in silence, and then you do the thing, that's never going to be us. We're just going to love each other forever and ever. So that's my dinner movie date.
Okay, we got to bring this back up.
Vin Peters,
the 2016 fourth quarter podcast producer of the year. This went south quick, didn't it? I did not expect that.
He walked into that.
Wouldn't have killed her to say Tommy Boy or something? I mean, you know.
I mean, you want to answer? I'm going to make sure that you never want to ask me five questions ever again. That's my goal.
I'm
going
to pop back to you. So what is one of your favorite people in the Missouri legislature to work with?
One of my favorite people in the Missouri legislature to work with, I would say Kirk Matthews. He is our Uber bill sponsor, our TNC bill sponsor, and we entered the building at the same time. So we kind of
did he
got
have to go through the security or just you?
So we're metaphorically or literally. Yes. That's very funny. I just think he is a stand-up guy. He's a very principled guy. We don't always agree on everything, but he lets you know where he stands. And I think his heart is always in the right place with the choices that he makes. And I just have immense respect for him.
Let me ask you this. In the whole campaign, who ran the best campaign that you watched?
So I think Senator Rowden ran a fantastic campaign. And I also think Josh Hawley ran a fantastic campaign. I thought it was a tough primary going up against Kurt Schaefer. And obviously we saw him sworn in today. So I think they both were very impressive and totally different campaigns in their strategy.
Should the inauguration be indoors if it's really freaking cold?
No, because I want less people. I only want warriors and tough people out there. I want it to be snowing. Like, I want less people. You know, here's my snobby thing for the day is when all these folks are here, I love it. It's the people's house, but it takes longer to get it on the elevator.
There's lines
everywhere. I went to Grand Cafe, which is my spot. And, you know, you have to. It's crowded. So, shout out to Grand Cafe. So, yeah.
Give us one thing about Danny Pfeiffer that nobody knows. That we
Oh, I have a funny. List of things
Sweet.
On my phone of
Just,
things
we
Danny
have time
Pfeiffer.
For this. So.
Okay, wait. So this is where's my list? So I made a list starting on August 15th, 2016. These are things Danny Pfeiffer.
God.
These are things Danny Pfeiffer hates.
This is why you're the 2016 fourth quarter podcast. This puts you in the front runner to be 2017 first quarter podcast co-host.
So I'll run through it quick. So things Danny hates: car fresheners, it plugged into your air conditioning in your car. He hates lanyards. He hates improperly formatted documents. He hates Super Bowl halftime shows. He hates when your voicemail isn't set up, so if it just says the phone number and they don't know. He hates birds. I don't know why I put that. And he hates, he doesn't like his feet being constricted by blankets when he sleeps.
These are the things, or just
I don't know.
Free, just free
I don't toilet. Know. I haven't read these in a long time. These are things he likes. He likes his suits. He likes his personal style. He loves
that.
Ice cream, juicy fruit gum. He likes a Hamilton on Broadway, and he likes a garden salad. A garden salad. Well, this is from 2016, so this was pre-trend. This was a year ago.
I think that's always been trendy.
And then
Let
he loves garden salad and black and chicken.
The Founding Fathers were white. I'm sorry. My bad. They were freaking white.
Sure. Yeah, I mean, that's you and Danny Pfeiffer. Bring Danny on and you guys can talk about Hamilton musical. I've never seen it.
I mean, look, whatever. I know it's fashionable now. White people. No, Trump won this. So white people should be able to have a little more go out in public without shame. But the Founding Fathers were just white. They just freaking were. I'm sorry. I know Smurfs are blue and George Washington was white. My bad. It's the way shit is.
Yeah. Okay, sure. I'm not.
You know what? I actually, I was going to go with a fifth one, but that one was, you killed that one to the extent of.
Oh my God.
Like,
I hope I still have a job come Monday.
I am straight
up
tweeting.
We can't tell Danny about this.
I'm
I'll never let him listen.
Every one of those things. That was probably I got to say, I mean, I don't know what else is happening in podcasting world, but front runner for the 2017 first quarter podcast coach of the year right now.
Oh, God.
Okay, cool. Well, I just want to thank our sponsor, Salish Chamber of Commerce, Farm Bureau. Thank Ben Peters, the producer of the Mullage podcast.
Ben.
Thank Becky Lohman, Third Red and Finally Passed Lohman, 2016 fourth quarter podcast coach of the year. And we will see you next week live from the state capitol.
See you guys.